know who might know who the former, what the name of the San Diego basketball team was? Our next guest.
Masai Ujiri?
He's on now.
Is he?
He'll know? President of the Trump. We'll put him on the spot.
Okay.
Like New Year's questioning. The New Year's Inquisition. Masai Ujiri, president of the Toronto Raptors.
Because he should know.
Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year, Bob. Happy New Year, Damon.
So there's a there was an NBA team in San Diego. They moved to Buffalo and became the Buffalo Braves. And then, of course, they left about an hour later. What was the name of the San Diego franchise? Don't looking it up now. Get off your computer.
He's Googling it.
Google right now.
You can't cheat. You're cheating.
Okay, I'll let you guys tell me then, since I don't know.
Well, we don't know. Do we know?
We're saying it was the Clippers?
It was the Clippers?
It was the Clippers. Actually, it was the Clippers. I know that. But didn't,
what do you mean you know that? You didn't know that.
I knew that. The Clippers, Jeff Weltman is always telling me stories, Sterling stories, but he told me when they were in San Diego. He's always mentioning when they were in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
And you guys confused me because you said, did they move to Buffalo?
Didn't the San Diego team move to Buffalo? Isn't
that's what
Buffalo
Damien said, and I don't know. Maybe they didn't. If they were the Clippers, they didn't move to Buffalo. Yeah. Damien is lying again.
I know. That's a long way to go to Los Angeles.
I'm just laughing at Masai throwing his buddy Weltman under the bus. He's always telling me these long stories about. I'm sure they're very good stories. Maybe I got that one wrong. Buffalo moved somewhere. Yeah. They came from somewhere. I don't know.
Did you have a good holiday? Was it all right?
It was, it was busy, but it was good. That was one part of the trip.
What'd you do to your phone? You just moved your mic.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, they're better now. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. So I was with the team partly.
Well, I know you had that trip.
Yes, but only three games, and then just scouting. Scouted a lot. Spent a day with my family. My wife's birthday is January 1, so I had to spend that day with her. And I'm with the family, and then back on the road scouting a little bit. So conference tournament started, so got to see him.
Wait a second. You're not the general manager anymore. You're the president now. You're not supposed to go do scouting.
That's all titles, Bob.
Well, did it come with a pay raise, I hope? Because that's the only important part of it. If it came with a pay raise, I'll take it. But
no comment.
No comment. That's a definitive yes, Damien.
Okay, for the edification of both of you, I've figured this out now. The Buffalo Braves, they were there from 70 to 78.
They became the New Orleans?
No, they switched. He actually flipped. The owner of then flipped franchises with the Celtics, and then the Buffalo team was moved to the San Diego and became the Clippers, and then became the L.A. Clippers.
Oh, really?
It went the other way around.
Oh.
My mistake. Oh, wow. Sorry, Masai.
Who tweeted you and told you?
Nobody. I looked it up.
He looked it up.
I googled it.
Same as you were trying to do. I'm the only honest person on this call. That's the only thing that we've clarified so far.
Are we going to talk about this weekend? This past weekend? Or is that where we're going to start?
No, go ahead. Wherever you want.
Well, I mean, it was an interesting one, Masai, because you had a couple of really tough losses, and then it looked as though that game against Boston, you guys were in trouble, and then somewhere within your team, you sort of dug down and came back and won that game. And that I don't know how differently you would have felt if you'd lost that Boston game as opposed to if you'd won it.
You know, the two things I'd say, guys, is there's a fatigue and mental fatigue, and I'm not one to give excuses, you know, like for these guys. I see them every day, the way they work, the way they concentrate and focus. There was an element of mental fatigue. You think about it, the team went to Utah, came back, went back 36 hours later or less to Portland. Then play a back-to-back in Golden State and go to Phoenix, and then the Lakers, then San Antonio, come back home for one game and then leave again. They've been away for six games and then leave again for one and then come back home. So it tells me that, you know, like you go up 18 in Chicago, you know, it's, Chicago is a good team. I respect them, but, I think, you know, like on a normal day, our guys will concentrate enough, you know, like to, it's not, we didn't get blown out by 60 or something. And then same thing with Houston. We've been in Houston before. We felt our guys feel comfortable at that team, but you could see we were walking in mud like a little bit, you know, and that's, so it's a combination. Also, we haven't gone through a tough phase this season, you know, like, it's been, you know, kind of going with a good pace, and every NBA team is going to win lose three, four games in a row. Atlanta is fourth in the East right now, and I think at some point they lost 10 out of 11 games. Boston, the way they started the season. So what we were going to go through it at some point, you know, like, and you hope, I think they weathered the storm pretty good. And now we have games we got to take care of now. And that's my lame explanation to it, you know, like, and I'm sticking to it, guys. I'm telling you, that's my story.
Yeah, but you're talking about teams who inevitably go through some kind of a losing streak. When is the last time your team lost three or more in a row?
Honestly, Bob, it's why I love them. They take pride in
it. Long time.
Yes, it's been a while, you know, like, I knock wood, you know, like, it doesn't happen again soon, but they take pride in this, you know, like, you listen to them right away, and they're like, we're not losing three in a row. You listen to the coaches, we're not losing three in a row. You know, they're so hungry, and that's one of the reasons I believe they dug really deep against Celtics. And Celtics is a rival now, you know. I know the NBA wants to make it like it's about Celtics and New York, you know, like, but there's something there brewing with the Celtics and the Raptors, because we're both trying to beat get to that number one team there. And you can say that number one team is at some level, but it's a game, you know, like, that I know these guys take very, very seriously, and every game they do, but I know they had that game in their minds, and they really dug into it.
I know, Masai, you get emails and calls every day from fans and all kinds of people who have got theories for you. Theories on this, theories on that, suggestions.
I do? I didn't know.
you got to read them. You can't delete them all.
I know.
So you'll be really pleased to know I have a theory. Okay. And it goes from the other night when Jonas Valanciunas, I think you'd agree, had a terrific ball game against Boston. And because of the matchup, he knew pretty much he was going to get serious minutes that night. And you could see from the opening seconds of that game, he had jump in his step, because he knew if he didn't struggle early, he wasn't going to be yanked. And he knew there was a pretty good chance he was going to be in late in the ball game, part of it. Whereas other games, we've seen him yanked early, and then sometimes we don't see him at all again. And I'm wondering if you noticed any kind of a difference sort of in his demeanor in a game where he knew he was going to be getting significant minutes and ended up playing very well.
Well, he I don't want to say he struggled for a while, you know, like, but he was up. I want to put it that he was up and down, and we all talked about it. I think the coaches, I talked about it with JV, and the one thing I know that I told him that can't be missing is that feistiness, you know, like, he has that fight that right. He doesn't back down from anybody. He knocks somebody down, he blocks shots, he protects the lane. He's very emotional, you know, like, you see it. He's spirited when he plays, you know, and I told him, we said we haven't noticed that in, you know, like, in the last three weeks, you know, like, he hasn't been like that. So that part of the game he cannot lose. You know, you can have bad games, you can have bad stretches, you know, you can have bad scoring nights, but the passion for the game, you know, the opportunity to play this game night in and night out, I told him, you can never lose. And Coach Casey emphasized that to him. And I think he's getting better. You know, it's good we're going through this season. You know, he's a 24-year-old big guy, I always say it, but people say when it happens that we're maybe we can call ourselves, I don't know, a winning team, you know, in the East now. So that puts more pressure, you know, that puts more pressure on even younger players and the player that he is. And big guys take so long, you know, like to become consistent, grow. And I always say it, you know, like you can, we have to keep going to them and keep encouraging them and keep feeding them. And I think Jonas is getting it, you know, he's one guy I know, our guys know that they can rely on.
I want to talk a little bit about the trade deadline. We're after the new year now. Teams start, you know, serious conversations about possible moves. We've been debating what, if anything, you guys might do. But as a precursor to that, here's something we haven't talked about, and that is the NBA's rather unique policy of mandating that if you make a trade in the NBA, there has to be a certain level of equity with the contracts that move. Before we get to the specifics of your roster, do you like that concept, or would you like to see it tweaked?
Well, that's a good question, Bob. During the season, I tend to focus on what I've been dealt with. You know, like, and I don't focus on what. It's not reality, and what you're talking about is it's not reality for now, but maybe it's a possibility, or maybe it's something that could be talked about. It does make trades difficult. We talk about 100 trades, and you only make one or two, if that. We're talking about it was in our staff the other day. When was the last time we made a trade? You know, it is difficult. And the new CBA is not going to help too, because there's, in some way, you know, we have challenges. You know, they're going to be bigger contracts, but we have to find ways. You know, we have to figure that out. It gives you the ability to keep players, which is, I think, a big plus. But trades will be challenging, you know, like, and we have to figure that part out.
Well, but one of the things, see, the interesting thing from my perspective is looking at it from the as you would look at it, is that you have a group of young players that are not getting a lot of minutes that I would think other teams would covet. The dilemma that you have is, in order to consummate a deal with another club, you have to get a similar size contract in return. Mm-hmm. Now, there's many ways to manipulate this, but in essence, when you add it all up, it's got to be basically an apple for an apple economically, within 20%. So you don't have that in any sport. In baseball, we're seeing trades happen now where a veteran player making $15 million a year is traded for three minor league players who aren't making anything off the major league roster. That can't happen in your league, right?
Well, it'd be an interesting concept, but we have a machine built in where obviously there are parameters in which trades can happen, especially financially, and that's the rule, Bob. You know, like you like it or not, we have to play by it.
I know, I understand,
and we, you know. That's the challenging part of our jobs, where, you know, we have to become creative. We have to figure out ways. It's not, to me, it's not an excuse at all, you know. And we will continue to develop the young players, and you find ways to. For us, that's the focus, is developing these young guys and growing your team. Where, you know what, if there are moves to make, you know, you figure out how to make your team better, and if not, your team has to get better. We don't want to use it as an excuse where, okay, yeah, I don't actually see them as assets, Bob, honestly, you know, like, because I like every single guy on our roster is honestly liked. We like that player because we can cut him, we can figure out ways, you know, like, but we like him. And if there's anything that whatever comes our way has to raise our bar a little bit, you know, and has to make us better a little bit, or even more than a little bit. So developing players is very, very important to our organization.
Sure. So you come in tomorrow morning, mm-hmm. And this is pure theory, of course. Are you more likely to make a phone call regarding a trade or receive a phone call regarding a trade?
Oh, that's a great question. It depends on the period. So if you are talking about tomorrow morning, that's tomorrow is Friday, and it's the second week of January.
Mm-hmm.
No, tomorrow I'm not making any calls, honestly. And tomorrow I might get calls. We were busy last week. There were tons of calls, obviously, because of the whole, Culver trade, and everybody thought there was another domino coming, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty calls. That's the way the NBA works. And then all of a sudden it goes quiet, you know, and there's nothing going on. Then everybody has their own tactics, you know, like they have their own timing, they have their own ways of handling other teams or talking to other teams. So people are cautious, some people are aggressive. But that's it. It's day by day. We have our scouting meetings next week. Maybe our guys will come up with something and say, hey, you know, like, let's give this a try, or maybe it would be, you know, continue as we are.
We're almost at the end of the second week of January, which means we're getting, I think, perilously close to seeing Jared Sullinger for the first time this season. The walking boot, I'm told, or I'm hearing, is off. Where's he at, and how quickly can he get up to speed, and how will, or maybe the opposite question is actually, how slow do you want to go with Jared Sullinger?
Well, he's done really well, I think, I think he's really progressing. The boot is off. He's starting to do stuff on the court. He's been doing things in the pool, starting to do a little bit of conditioning stuff. So we're very, very encouraged now, you know, with his progress, to be honest. And we're hoping the time frame that we've always talked about is what happens. But with these things, you never know, you know, like sometimes you have setbacks, minor setbacks, knock wood, we don't, you know, because Jared, I think, has been focused, and we hope we can get him helping our team soon.
You've got two first-round picks in the summer draft, yours and the Clippers, as part of the Grievous Vasquez deal. If the two teams finish where they are right now, those would be picks 25 and 26 in the draft. What kind of value do those kinds of picks have in the NBA? We always focus on the top 1, 2, 5 picks in the draft, and then after that, they all seem to have similar value to those of us on the outside looking in. We know they don't. We know that each player is slotted, but give me a general sense as to whether those are valuable assets to you, especially with the young team that you have now.
They are really, really valuable. Because you never know when something is going to go your way or not. And by that, I explain that sometimes it's one of those picks that make a deal work. You know, like sometimes it's an added incentive. And sometimes you're picking Pascal or Bruno or Bebe or Norm, you know. I told our guys, it doesn't matter whether you're picking one. You can mess up one. You can mess up two. You can mess up 25, or you can mess up wherever. But let's take pride in wherever we're picking and try to get it right. We really take pride in that. Now, do we have a lot of young kids on our team?
Yes.
Yes, we do. Yeah. And so it has to make sense for us, Bob. It honestly has to. And it could be a trade deadline deal. It could be a draft day deal. It could be many things. We're extremely happy with Poeltl and Pascal, the players we picked. But those picks were available too. But nothing came our way that we felt were better than Pascal and Poeltl,
right,
on our team. So those are the things that happen. Something could happen where it will involve the two picks, or involve one pick. But in terms of value, Bob, you cannot imagine. You know, those are so valuable for us right now, and even around the league.
Are you almost though at the point, Masai, where you're maxed out in how many young players you can carry?
Yeah.
Never maxed out with young players you can get, because here comes the new rules where you're going to probably be able to add the two players with the with the two-way contracts, it is, you can essentially
use the D-League.
You can keep, you know. So it's a great piece. I'm a big developmental guy, you know, like, and I don't know, you have to take a chance on a lot for one or two to really, like, happen in the way you want it to happen. And we'll continue to take those chances, and we find ourselves in a special place, which is second place in the East, and there is a window with Kyle Lowry and Damari and those kind of guys on your team at their prime, and we will take advantage. But we're not making bad deals, you know. It doesn't help business, it doesn't help your future, and trust me, if a deal is not made, just know that, you know, there was nothing on the table for us that would really enhance our team.
We thank you as always for your time and your honesty in this, and we'll stay in touch over the next little while. A run of four games against cheeseball teams, where
I wouldn't say that. Knock wood.
I didn't hear that,
Bob.
You didn't say it. I did. It's a bunch of cheeseball teams, and you need to go 4-0.
You said it, and I didn't hear it.
Back to Google, Masai. Back to Google.
I'll go back to Google.
Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you soon.
Guys. Thanks, Bob.
See ya.
Thanks, Damien.